Time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome. She brings us the Vatican Week in review.
Joan says these are exciting times of a new pontificate.
You know, we could start calling this show A Day in the Life, meaning obviously Pope Francis. I mean, he's always giving us something new, starting at 7 in the morning when he says Mass, of course, in the chapel of the Santa Marta residence where he continues to live, and he receives different groups. I think we're into the 10th or so group now of Vatican employees. He began with the gardeners and cleaning personnel of Vatican City and the Santa Marta, and he has received the priests who lived there, of course, and I think it was Thursday that he received those from the Vatican Publishing House, and then he'll concelebrate usually with a couple of, it can be a priest or a bishop of a certain office, and then after Mass, the Pope goes in the back of the chapel and kind of meditates. You see this white figure in the last row, and he's just kind of meditating after Mass, and so does everybody else for the simple reason they stay after Mass because they know that when he's through meditating, he's going to meet every one of them. So they're not about to go home before they shake the Holy Father's hand. But, I mean, he gives a homily every day on the readings. So
interesting homilies, too.
They really are very applicable to our lives. Mm. I mean, he'll talk about envy or he'll talk about gossiping. Now, gossiping and speaking evil of others is really a bad thing, you know, and it reflects back on yourself and it can do you more harm than, I mean.
He often speaks about emotions, too. And
yes.
The other day he focused on crying.
Yes.
And how it does you good to cry.
Oh, God bless you, Francis. Really, there's a lot of people that are going to hear those words. And I think what they're going to feel is what I feel when I read them or hear them. And that is, gosh, he's really one of us. I think that's a feeling that has permeated people all over the world. They watch him walk from, you know, spot A to spot B. They hear him talk about things that are very relevant in their lives. Not a theological treatise on something that's making your mind wander in church, but you're listening to him because, you know, I can relate to that. So it's just so interesting. But when you think of what he's done, the visit on April 2nd to the tomb of John Paul, which of course was April 2nd was the 8th anniversary of Blessed John Paul's death, and the Pope was accompanied by Cardinal Comastri, Archpriest of the Basilica, and by his, you know, now Private Secretary Monsignor Schwereb, And so the Pope prayed there for quite some time. Then he also visited the tomb of Blessed John the 23rd and St. Pius the 10th. He visited the Vatican necropolis the other day, the scavi, meaning excavation. This was begun, I think it was 1949, when they were digging to create the foundation for a tomb for one of the popes in St. Peter's. And it was going to be a very weighty, heavy tomb, and they wanted to make sure the foundation was suitable. And in their digging, they find this pre-Constantine necropolis, which now is perhaps the most requested tour in the city of Rome. I mean, city of Rome and the Vatican. The Vatican, over a year's period, can only accommodate a very small number of people given the request. But the Pope went down the other day and he walked the whole main street. And then, this is, of course, where St. Peter is buried. That's why the scavi is so important. And you know, interestingly enough, if you were to hang a plumb line from the very center of the dome, it would fall down and go right through the very center of the papal altar. And if it went through the papal altar and the floor, it would end up at St. Peter's tomb. So the building of the basilica was a miraculous feat when you look at where it's located. The passageway to the tomb, if you're looking at this wall, there's just a couple feet ahead of you and there's an opening, but not an opening like a door, more like a window. And on the other side of this opening is the what they call the edicola, this little monument to St. Peter's tomb. So you can't actually, and nor could the Pope, you can't actually go into where St. Peter's tomb is and pray. But he did go to the very beautiful chapel, the Clementine Chapel in the Basilica, because I think this was named for and decorated by Clement VIII. And behind the grating above the main altar, the only altar of this little chapel, behind that grating, if you could get behind it, would be the area where St. Peter's buried. So that's where he actually prayed, since he could not pray at the tomb. So you have the Pope visiting the tombs of predecessors. You have him visiting the tomb of St. Peter. A couple days ago, he called Monsignor Loris Capovilla, who lives in northern Italy, and he was Pope John the 23rd's secretary. And they had a lovely conversation. Just interesting things. And by the way, one of the most interesting, I just learned this late last night, the Twitter account Pontifex, at Pontifex, he has doubled in like the last 12 days, the number of people signing up. The papal Twitter account has gone from 2.5 million to 5 million. Now, that's in all 9 languages. And it's about 2.5 million in English, and then the other 2.5 million are the other 8 languages. Oh, one interesting thing. The Vatican did reveal a change. Probably a lot of people wouldn't even know about this. They know the Pope has a coat of arms or a shield. And very soon, the banners that hang from the Vatican buildings, like the Central Loggia or the Pope's window for the Angelus, right now it's white in the center. And very soon, there will be some nuns who are embroidering his coat of arms that will soon appear on these banners. And the interesting thing is about the coat of arms is that basically they kept the shield that he had, the shield and the motto is the same, that he had as Archbishop of Buenos Aires. There was the Holy Family represented, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And the Jesus was the Jesuit IHS, the motto, which means is the name of Jesus. Then there was a 5, now an 8-pointed star for the Beatitudes, meaning Mary, Star of the Sea. And then Joseph, there was a slightly changed now spikenard plant, and that represented St. Joseph. So you do have the Holy Family on his shield. And then his motto, Miserando atque eligendo, that still appears beneath the shield, but instead of just being words in space, these are now words printed on a scroll of white parchment with a red backside. And the motto, it's a little bit longer in English than it is in Latin, but means, because he saw him through the eyes of mercy and chose him. And how many times has Pope Francis said the word mercy in his homilies and just off the cuff remarks and everything else? So it's just an amazing pontificate. You never know. In the past, you might have glanced at the Osservatore Romano newspaper. Now you go through every single page because you'll find something on his motto or maybe his Twitter account or words he said, always the words at morning mass. Life of the Pope, he eats like the rest of us eat, but you never in your mind pictured the Pope at the dining table. There were one or two pictures of Benedict released with, you know, Monsignor Georg and the women who work in the papal household, the consecrated lay women. But this is a picture of Pope Francis in the dining room of the Santa Marta, just having a meal with his priest secretary, with Monsignor Baldisseri, who's the secretary of the Congregation for Bishops. Now, we haven't given too much time, and of course don't have too much time, for the Holy Week events, but I mean, Easter was magnificent. Easter, you couldn't get in or near St. Peter's Square. If you were coming after about 9 in the morning or 9:30, Mass was at 10:15. There had been the vigil Mass the night before. But the crowd was just massive. And they kept coming, those who were coming for the Angelus at noon. Well, actually, Easter Sunday, there's the Urbi and Orbi message and the Pope's message of peace, in which he speaks of the continents of the world and the various trouble spots, whether it's conflict, war, human rights issues, attacks on Christians, and so forth. So always a very meaningful speech. But for the first time in quite a number of years, the Holy Father did not have the multilingual greetings that John Paul and Benedict before him had done. I mean, you had up to 62 greetings. It was just Happy Easter, two words, but in 62 languages. And we've since learned that actually a book-length interview done with two journalists 3 years ago with then-Archbishop Cardinal Bergoglio of Buenos Aires, he revealed that because he hasn't practiced the languages other than his native Spanish, of course, and he's known Italian for years, because he hasn't practiced the French and the German that he did learn during his years of study. He doesn't feel comfortable in those languages. And he said in this book interview that he also doesn't feel comfortable with English phonetically. And I certainly don't blame him there. So his greetings were in Italian. I suppose someday soon he will be speaking. He's going to have to when he greets Spanish groups, you know, speak his native Spanish. And then the Monday was the Easter Monday of the angel, because of the angel that announced to the women after Christ had been resurrected that, in fact, he could not be found in his tomb. And the Pope had the Angelus, and this is interesting. Normally, he goes to Castel Gandolfo. The popes have in past years gone after Easter all of the huge, long liturgies that they've had over a period of days. They'll usually go to Castel Gandolfo and rest, but Benedict XVI Emeritus, Pope Emeritus, is at Castel Gandolfo, so Francis stayed here. You know, here we are recording this show, and it's like, okay, when we walk out of the studio, what are we going to learn about Pope Francis? And it's wonderful. I mean, it keeps us alert.
Keeps us on our toes.
On our toes, exactly. So, you know, what are going to be the interesting little tidbits when we meet again next week?
And you were listening there to Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome.